You guys all right? Listen, I'm honored to be here. I'm humbled to be here. I'm talking to the Life Changer students right now. I'm proud of you guys. I get emotional about this stuff. I look at you, your faces, and I know you could be a lot of other places, believing a lot of other things and staying in a lie, and yet you're here doing your best to understand, to move forward, and believing there's something more to your lives than you've lived. Amen? So I want you to stay super encouraged because it's true. You're right on track. And don't let anything discourage you and talk you out. If something is going on in your mind that's not encouraging you or building you up, I'm telling you, it's not Jesus. Because your life has value. Come on, get real with me. Let's just look at simple truth. Why would Jesus go to the extreme of shed his blood and die on a cross if our lives weren't worth that sacrifice? If we didn't have some kind of potential that's possible, some kind of destiny to fulfill? Why would Jesus go to the extreme of what he did if there wasn't something beautiful about our lives to yet be seen? Come on. You got to hold on to that and not let anything talk you out of that. Because everything about life... We're singing some militant songs today, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, I wonder if we understand what we sing when we sing this stuff. We talk about stuff raging and we're going to stand and war all around us and we're going to stand. And I'm thinking, I wonder if we understand what we're really singing. Because there's a never-ending war trying to own your identity and own your value and own your destiny. There's a thing from the time you're born trying to tell you who you are and who you aren't. There's something going on. It's the spirit of the age. It's the wisdom of the world. There's a demon war against the kingdom of God, and yet we're created for God's image from the beginning, but we were born into Adam. We were born into a lie. And there's this war raging against the truth and against the kingdom of God to keep us blind from ever seeing what we were created to be. And this war is always raised. It's something trying to sell you out and sell you cheap and buy you all the time through attitudes and mindsets and perspectives and motivations. And it's things that are, they play on self-centered stuff, jealousies, rightness, wrongness, he said, she said, mad anger. And all of a sudden you're so justified feeling the way you feel, and it's not producing life. So what are we winning? Nothing. Everybody's losing. Now, we lived our whole life that way and thought it was normal. Ugh. See, I'm never living that way again. That day's over. It's been over for almost 20 years. You can tell I'm serious. And if I just put on a jacket to get excited for you, I do a pretty good job. Maybe I'm serious. Maybe God changed my eye 20 years ago. Showed me the truth. Be the truth makes you free. Yeah? I'll bet you. So we're going to talk about it a lot, all right? But I'm telling you, you don't have to be hurting. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be depressed. We're not Christians to survive. We're Christians to shine. And we'll talk about this stuff a lot. You don't incorporate Jesus in your life in hopes of a better one. He gives you a brand new one. You didn't just come to Him to fix things that were broke. You come to Him so He can make everything right. Not just here for what He can do for us. Guys, get this. We're not here for what He can do for us. We're here for how He can make us more like Him, because that's why He made man in the first place. If you look in your Bible, the reason He made man was for His image. It's right in Genesis. It's verse 26 and 7. In 26, he talked about it. In 27, he did it. Let us make man in our image. Now, you and I haven't related to the image of God. We were born into the image of man. Adam, fallen man. Actually, if you really look at your Bible, guys, in Genesis, man didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy. And he became self-centered and a god unto himself. And the day he ate the tree, it's the day that what he was made to be seemingly died. Now here's the good news. It didn't die in the love of God. It didn't die in the vision of God. It didn't die in the wisdom of God. God knows who he made man to be. And he had a plan. And one day, in the fullness of time, like a root shot out of dry ground, he sent his son. And what his son did, very simply, is become what we were, so we could be restored back to what he created us to be. This, come on. This is not a prayer to go to heaven. We're not waiting to go to heaven someday. Heaven's come to us. Jesus said in the gospel, the kingdom of God is here. Where is it? I'm looking at it. It's God in man. Come on. Yeah? It's the kingdom of God. I'm looking at it. If you're not careful, you're looking at yesterday. You're looking at where you come from. Now, there's a place to stay humble and sober and never go back there and let that thing teach you. But today, you're not that person. Are you following me? Come on. Yeah? Girls, you with me? You're hanging on every word, right? Listen, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you can't change it. But who you are can change. And I promise you, if you look at these scriptures in the Word of God, when you change, you'll never answer for where you've been and what you've done. You'll answer for what you've become. And if you make a tree good, guess what you get then? Fruit that's good. So all of a sudden, you ain't trying to be good girls anymore. You know who you are. And when you know who you are, you'll produce fruit accordingly.
Get it?
Come on. It's not about trying harder. It's about becoming through the finished work of Christ. It's about believing. It's about releasing everybody and making sure nobody owes you nothing. Because none of that can change the truth. Come on, guys. I know you're here in the middle. I just came for Life Changers, folks, but hi. I'm talking to everybody here, too. Are you guys with me? Listen, man, I've heard this. I just heard this phrase this week. Well, yeah, but my mom hates me. Maybe she does. How's that change truth? That just means she's in trouble and needs help too. Why are you letting her hating you determine who you are when Jesus is Lord? Why do you need your mom to love you? I know we think this is true, and psychologists would hang me on a cross for this, but bear with me for a minute. Why do we need our mom to love us for us to believe in Christ? Why do we need our mom to love us for us to understand God loves us? And why does our mom not loving us, even though it's an excuse, the person that said it was a justified excuse to allow them to stay where they're at and divert their attention from their own heart and make an excuse for their life so they didn't have to look at their life. Just point out the problem in another. Come on, it's a sidestep, man. Come on. Well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. What's that have to do with anything I'm talking about? Get real with me. We make things matter that don't truly matter because the just live by faith. And if you get your eyes on truth, truth will keep you free. All we do when we say those things, guys and girls, we're just giving ourselves a justification for the flesh and a guarantee to stay the same and tomorrow be yesterday. That ain't cool. You guys all right? We're going to have fun. I'm glad you're letting me here. Thanks. I feel so happy standing in front of you guys. Man, I really like you. Isn't he a good guy? He's a good guy. Okay, listen. Listen. So a lot of what I'm going to say is so simple. And I'm going to just lay a foundation for you right now. And I believe this is a very true and fair statement. Okay. I don't throw percentages out much, but that's what I hear in my heart. I'm believing it's the Lord. I'm going to say 90-some percent of your Christian life being lived triumphant and victorious and expressive in all those terms we use, 90-some percent of our Christian life is just seeing clear. That's what I just heard in my heart to express to you guys, and I'll expound on it. If God can change our perspective, He can change our whole life. We were trained in a lie. We were so self-conscious from the time we were born. We're trying to fit in, be accepted, not rejected, trying to be loved, trying to be known. We were seeking reputation. You had somebody laugh at you in elementary school and two kids chimed in and you were hurt. And all of a sudden you began to get insecure and you did one of two things. You got introverted or became a fighter. You either drew back or got hard. Come on. It started at a way early age. Somebody just laughed at you and made fun of you because of something you were wearing and you were in second grade. And all of a sudden, two other kids laughed and your identity was shattered. And all of a sudden, you just thought that people were going to make fun of you. You thought you were less than another, and you were driven on this journey to compete and compare and to win. And most of us don't feel like we're winning. That's why we're mad. Or hurt. Or super insecure. And then we're trying to look for acceptance. Then we're trying to get noticed. And now instead of laying down our lives for one another, we're living at the expense of one another just to feel on top. It's so perverted. Come on, we were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were trained by a lie. This Bible says to get your hope sky high. That faith is the substance of everything you hope for, and that hope is the anchor of your soul, and it passes through the veil into His presence. It talks about hope, and your whole life you heard, don't get your hope up. Hey, it'd be awesome if it happened, but don't get your hope up. Hate to see your little heart broke. See, it's always self-preserving. It's all about us. Those little phrases are all about us. And they're self-preserving, but they're a trap. Because if you don't get your hope up, there's no faith and there's no move of God. It's just self-preserving. The Bible's all about denying yourself, dying to yourself, loving not your own life unto death. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for God's image. The biggest trap is doing anything for yourself. James 3 says, if you're wise and understanding, your life will prove it. And if there's selfishness in your life, stop boasting and lying against the truth. Because this wisdom is not from the Lord. It's earthly, it's sensual, and demonic. That's James chapter 3, 13, 14, 15. It's there. I read the book. It's amazing what's in that book. And we were almost trained and taught that this was a confusing and hard to understand book. Sometime in the dark ages, only the minister could have one. People couldn't even own a Bible. Why? Because there's life in here. There's truth in here. This is the Word of God. And when I see Him clear, I see me clear. Don't think you can't understand it. Don't tell yourself, well, I don't read because I don't. No, you embrace this thing and you say, Holy Spirit, You gave revelation to men. They penned it in these pages and it got preserved to the year 2015. And here I am holding the Word of the living God. I thank You this book is alive and it has the ability to go inside of me. It's active. It'll change me through and through. And I thank You for giving me revelation. When I read this book, I thank You. You open my eyes to see and my heart to understand. Thanks for loving me. And you just start reading. All right? Don't read it because you're supposed to, because you're a Christian. Don't read it because it's your life changer duty. Is that all right? You read it to know Him. As I learned this, the more I know Him, the clearer I see me. Because He made me in His image and He's always desired to live in me. He made me to be one with Him. And a long time ago, sin evicted Him from His home. So He dealt with the problem and moved back in. He must really want to live here. Yeah? He must really want. I was a house fit for a king and never knew it. I was prime real estate. I carried an amazing value. Do you imagine a realtor to walking God through the earth? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And God could buy any. He could make a big mansion in the sky so everybody could see it at once from the north, south, east, and west. Do you know God could do that? Do you know God could build this crazy castle in the sky and kids could grow up from generation to generation going to our house? Mama, that's where God lives. Whoa, Mama, that's where God lives. He could do that. He could have that thing up there. He doesn't do that. He wants to live in you and He wants to live in me. So people look at your life and go, whoa, that's where God lives. Wow, that's where God lives. All of a sudden they see your disposition on the job. They see your attitude in friendships. They see your relationships and all of a sudden they go, God lives there. Could you imagine a realtor walking God through the earth and He comes to me when my life was so full of hypocrisy and self-centeredness and jealousy, when I was sure I hated her and didn't even like being a daddy. There was a time when my life was such a mess. Could you imagine God walking through the earth and He could buy anything and live anywhere and He looks over at me and says to the realtor, I want to live there. And the realtor's like, yes, I want to live there. He says, sir, why would you want with you? Because you don't see what I see. You don't know what I know. I know what that man will look like when I move in. I know what he'll look like when I touch his heart with my love and he surrenders. I know that man's potential and his destiny. He don't have a clue, but the light's going to shine on him. And once the light shines, the darkness is removed. He'll get it. I want to move in. He says, well, sir, according to this book, he's flesh and blood. You're going to have to pay flesh and blood. It's already covered. From the beginning, the Lamb was slain. Because I made him to live in him. Now that's signed the deal. Now, if I really believe what I'm saying, I'm either just out of my mind or out of yours. Or it's true. And if what I'm saying is really true, then why would I get caught up and tripped up with so many issues, feelings, and human things? If I really believe what I'm telling you, why would what you think, say, or do ever matter concerning my life? Why would I ever have a reason to trump believing something so powerful? You say, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Yeah, but you don't know what it's like growing up. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me when I was 4. Yeah, but you don't know. What does any of that have to do with what I'm talking about? Be real with me and let me challenge your heart. It has nothing to do with it. It's a distraction and a lie, and it just makes rational sense. It doesn't make eternal sense. It just fits in the moment of human wisdom. Come on, guys. We sold cheap a lot in our lives, and the truth is we're not for sale. We've been bought with a price. So don't any of you guys sell cheap. Keep learning who you are, finding out who you are. And if that thing that you're learning isn't encouraging your heart, it's not coming from Jesus. You're feeling discouraged. You're feeling antsy. You're feeling like you just want to, oh, do this and that. You know it ain't edifying. Man, get a grip on your own heart. Learn to steward your own heart. Get along with God and say, God, this desire is not coming from you. I was trained in this as a young man, and it's a lie, and I am not part of this, and I know it's there, and I'm feeling it right now, but I'm telling you, God, I recognize it. It's not who I'm created to be. I'm renouncing it, and I'm separating from it. I am a man of God. You start doing that in relationship with God, your whole world will change. You won't live in secrets. You won't feel bad about yourself. You won't have little vices, and we're here singing all these great songs, and you don't feel that about yourself. Come on. Look, it's not that you'll never get tempted or tested or challenged in things. It's not that flashbacks don't come or bad thoughts don't run through your mind. When they do, they violate your heart. If I take a show of hands right now, who's got stuff that runs through their mind and it makes you feel, oh man, I wish I wasn't thinking that. I don't want to think that. Oh, I know that ain't God. Who's ever had that? Yeah? Pretty universal, huh? Pretty across the board. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. The devil just keeps shooting that stuff. Just sheer human remembrance keeps bringing it back. And here's the problem. We're not established in truth, in Christ, in relationships, so we keep selling out to that stuff and thinking we have a problem. But the fact that your heart is violated and the fact that you recognize it for something that's not God means you have an answer, that something's changing in you and you see it for what it really is. But if you take it personal and let it wear your identity, then you feel separate from God and that you still have issues and now you just need prayer. No, you don't need prayer. You cast that thing down and you separate yourself from that thing with the truth. And you say, God, I thank you. There was a time in my life when this and this and this, but that is no longer that time. You have changed me and you're doing a work in me. And God, I thank you. My desires are pure and I desire you. And the whole time that thing's going, yak, yak, yak. And you're going, Jesus, yes, God. It's called casting down the lie and lifting up the truth and the truth making you free. You don't need prayer. You're not sinning. You're only getting deceived and sinning if you buy into it and let it become who you are in expression. And if you listen to it long enough and don't address it, you'll start believing it's you. And if you just keep asking for prayer for it, you're actually putting it onto your identity and thinking you're a person with a problem. No, you're a person with an answer. And the fact that you care about thinking that stuff means you've been touched inside. It means you're not the same young lady. Yeah, there was a time we thought that stuff on purpose. There was a time we dreamt it up. There's a time we mused on it and hung there for a long time. And then all of a sudden that thing comes back and we're like, oh, and it doesn't feel good anymore. That's a good sign you've changed. The fact that you remembered it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. The fact that you see it for what it is a time to rejoice. And all of a sudden you say, God, you've done a work in me. God, you're changing me. My life will never be the same. You start. That sure beats asking for prayer. Because when you ask for prayer, you're saying something's wrong with me. And all of a sudden, we don't learn to cast down every thought, every imagination, everything that rises above the knowledge of truth. All of a sudden, we don't understand how to bring it in captivity and hold it obedient according to Christ. It's in there. It's 2 Corinthians like 10, chapter 10. Somewhere right around there. Yeah? You getting this? Who's ever had a flashback? Who's ever had that flashback try to make you feel bad? Try to make you feel like you were in that moment? Whoever actually did feel bad in the flashback, that means you're not the same girl you're thinking about. You've changed. You ought to rejoice and shout loud. It's called submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. We're so busy fighting the lie, we forget the answer's the truth. And if you weren't sincere, you wouldn't be fighting the lie. If you were really what you were remembering, you'd say, whatever. But the fact that you're not means you've changed. So you probably ought to rejoice in change, huh? Stop feeling like you sinned. Stop feeling like you missed it. Stop feeling like it's still inside you. But the Lord showed me a long time ago, it's outside trying to get back in. So don't put it on. Keep putting on Him. Yeah? As soon as that thing comes and tries to gray you out, ignore it. Don't say a word to it. Don't even talk to the devil. He's a cut off withering branch. He loves when you put him on a stage. He's coming to nothing. So he needs you to notice him now. I ignore him. The only way I ever address him is if he gets right in front of me. There's two things I don't think about, ladies. Sin and the devil. Yeah? And it's the two things I see Christians focus on the most. Keep your eyes on the answer. You'll become the answer. Yeah? I say, we ain't people with a whole bunch of trouble. We're people with an answer. So if that devil says something like that, it brings back a flashback, just ignore it. Just say, Father, I just thank you for the change. God, I thank you that you've purified me. You've made my life spotless and clean before you. God, you love to love me, and I receive your love. You're talking like that right in the face of a flashback. Now if you were the enemy, how do you defeat that kind of faith? How do you defeat that? Watch this. The more, see, you're getting this, ain't you? Now watch this. So the more he pokes you, the more the devil pokes you, guess what? The more you grow closer to truth, true identity, and the love of God. So all of a sudden, the wisdom of God is working against the enemy because he's relentless to steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy. Right? What's your name? Jason. So the devil, you know, the devil's over here. He's like calling his little imps to assignments. And he says, listen, Jason, he thinks he's on a roll. I mean, he's at life changer. You need to go over there and just tell Jason this thing ain't happening. He's still got crud in his heart and he's still got issues and it ain't gonna happen, man. This is all just hype and ain't nothing really changing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boss, you're amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and he comes over there. Jason, this ain't working, bud. You ain't really changing, man. Come on, you still got crud in your heart, man. You got—I mean, how's all this worship been raising your hand? What's it changing, man? You're still a mess. Come on, who's ever heard that kind of stuff? Yeah. Now Jason has two options: he can start believing that and gray out and ask for prayer, or right in the middle of that voice, he can say, "Father, thank you for the work you're doing in me. Thank you, God, you're changing me through and through." And God, I appreciate it. And all of a sudden, this little imp's like, what? He says, boss, I told him everything you told me to tell him. And he started raising his hands and worshiping God and telling God, thanks for all the work he's doing. He said, and the devil slaps that little imp and says, you fool, you couldn't have told him what I told you. When we tell Christians those things, they get depressed, discouraged, and call for prayer. That's what they think. And that's usually what we do. He says, not this Christian Jason. He got some kind of teaching going on. He got some kind of faith. He's coming from a different angle, boss. I don't think we can keep touching in this way. Because when I felt strength coming in him, man. I had to get out of the room because I felt God coming in the room. And he says, you fool. You go back and tell him he ain't worthy. They all buy into that. Christians get guilty and condemned and regret all the time. It's an easy target. Jason's an easy target. Now go get it done. He comes over there. Jason, you really aren't worthy. I mean, think about all the things you've done and all the people you hurt and all the times you knew better and did it anyway. And now all of a sudden you're all right. I don't think so. Who's ever heard stuff like that? And all of a sudden Jason says, Father, I thank you. You made all things new. God, even the folks that I've touched wrong and stuff, I thank you there's mercy toward them. And in any way you want me to make right down the road, I'm ready. But I thank you, you're making me right. And the desires I used to have, I have no more. And you have been purifying my heart. You made me right before you. And God, I just honor you for the blood of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden that little thing's gone. Now watch. The more he sends him over there to do that, and the more Jason responds like this, guess what the devil's actually doing? As long as he's responding truth, his strategy is empowering Jason to grow in the Lord. But if you don't understand that, you just get sorry for yourself, go with the emotions, call for prayer. Why ain't I getting it? I guess I ain't never going to get it. When do I get my breakthrough? And the breakthrough's right in front of you. It's called truth. It's not some mystical thing that's going to float in the room and settle on you. It's you believing how God sees you and what He accomplished through Christ and you holding on to it and not letting anything change your mind. I'm going to show you that right now in your Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Go there real quick. You guys getting something out of this morning? Spiritual emphasis. We ought to spiritually emphasize. Right? Because haven't we lived in the flesh? Be honest. Haven't we been trained by the flesh? Haven't you been trained that if you don't feel good, you ain't doing good? Haven't you been trained that you're only as good as you feel? Haven't we woke up in the morning, that alarm's going off, you don't want to go to work. In fact, you dread your job. In fact, you've lost sight of thankfulness. You wish you didn't even have to go to that job, but you forget that job's earned you money, and you forget you need money, and now you feel like you're in a bind, and I got to work, and I hate working, and now I got to go to work because I need money, I got bills. Now you're just another angry, frustrated person. So when that alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, or 5 o'clock, or 7, bam, bam, yeah, here we go again, another day at work. Didn't even sleep good last night. Oh, man. It's just misery. Come on, who can relate to that kind of mindset and lifestyle? Rather than that alarm going off and looking at the clock and realizing, man, my body might not feel like getting up. You know what? It'd be nice to sleep another extra hour. But God, I thank you, you're in me. And I thank you, God, you've made a difference in me. And you know what? Lord, there was a time I used to go to work just to earn a living, but now I can go to work and shine. My attitude means something. You've given me a sphere of influence. You've blessed me with a gift called life. And I'm not taking it for granted anymore. Nobody on my job owes me a thing, God. I owe no man anything but to love. And I'm going to walk in you and shine. Because when I was giving you nothing, you gave me the kingdom. When I didn't understand, you gave me truth. You've changed my life, God. And I thank you. You use my life to change others. I am honored to be alive today. And even though my body would rather stay in bed another hour, I'm excited you're in me. And it's going to be a good day in here. Come on. See, that's called not thinking for yourself. That's called not being self-centered. One of the greatest tragedies of Christianity is when we're a Christian for ourselves. That's a frustrated Christianity right there, and it don't ever work, and it never goes good, and people backslide. You can't backslide from relationship in Him from selflessness. You just can't backslide from being filled with Holy Ghost and Him flowing through you and living through you. There's nothing to backslide from. It's when you have your own intent, your own motives, your own desires, feel failed, feel like God didn't pull through, feel like you didn't get what you wanted. Now you're back to that old selfish thing again. And all of a sudden you have an attitude and you're mad, and now you're just expecting God to treat you like a parent would a child. And if a parent does that to a child, we say shame on the parent. Well, I got issues with God. I've been praying and praying. He ain't heard my prayer. He ain't answered. Come on, we're not in some give and take thing. We're in a covenant in the relationship. He's our Father and we're His kids. See, and some of us live that way at home and we're going to try to bring that into God, right? We're going to try to bring that into our relationship with Jesus. And it ain't Christianity. Christianity is surrender and submission and all that He is becoming all that you are. Look, God's not obligated to answer everything I ever pray. Sometimes I pray because of self-will. Sometimes I have wrong motives. You know, I've met tons of marriages and tons of relationships. They'll come to you crying and say, Pastor, you got to pray for me. Our relationship just broke up. You got to pray that they come back. And I'm like, well, you know, even in a marriage, you know, pray that my spouse comes back. I said, well, how about if we pray this, that Christ keep being formed in you? To the point that when God sees who He is so strong in your life that He has something to bring them back to, that's probably a higher place. Just you getting your spouse back, it might be self-serving, self-centered. You just might be an insecure mess right now living in idolatry, and you need the safety of your spouse by your side, and you might actually need to grow in Jesus and stop expecting your spouse to be on the earth to meet your needs. Come on, I'm on it now. I'm going to challenge you a little this week. I'm going to encourage you a lot, but challenge you also. Come on, how many of us, we live at the expense of one another. And the only reason we're asking God to change that is because we're insecure without that. Well, would God change that and allow the insecurity to stay alive, or would He rather take the insecurity out of your life if He really loves you? If He's a really good dad, isn't that what made us mad at our parents? Sometimes our parents really did know what they were talking about, really did know what they were doing. But it wasn't the way we wanted them to do it, and then we'd call it not love or whatever. Look, God's not going to answer a prayer that's wrongly motivated and allow the wrong motive to stay alive just to give you the answer. He's going to change you. You get it? Because if He would just give you the answer, He's empowering you to stay the same. Now, that wouldn't be the love of God, would it? Come on. Remember, I told you early on, 90-some% of our Christianity has lived out fruitful if we just let our perspectives and motives be changed. Didn't He say, the pure in heart shall see God? You do a little word study on the word pure. It's a pretty nice word. The pure in heart shall see Him. Why are you going to see Him? Because it's right where God flows. God can do anything through a pure heart. Because it represents all that He is. And He can bless everything through a pure heart. There's two places that you can find where prayers aren't answered. It's when there's no faith and when it's amiss our own lust and desire. You can just pray for another job, pray for another job, pray for another job, and never catch the honor of the job you have. You can so disdain the job you have and not see the thankfulness that at least you're in an income and you have a little sphere of influence called a mission field beside you called coworkers. You can just be mad that your boss treats you bad and you're asking for another job, and yet God doesn't give you another job because the only reason you're going to another job is because you're mad at this job. God would never open that door. Even if you get another job, I promise you it's not God opening that door. Because He wants you to deal with your heart and start seeing the value of your supervisor and appreciate where you're planted and flourish there before He changes it. So if you're faithful in little, He'll make you ruler over much. But if you bury a talent, come on. What happened to the guy that buried the talent? That wasn't a good story to the guy that buried the talent. He was bound and held captive, and he was cast into outer darkness. Why? Because when you bury your purpose, life is frustrating. Come on, if you just spiritually look at those stories, it's not God being mean. Oh, well, ladies, if you bury your talent, I'm going to tie you up and cast you into outer darkness. You're going to be forsaken. That's not what He's saying. It's a place of torment. When you bury what you're created for, when you bury what you have been gifted to steward, there's no life there. It's a bound and tormented place. It's a captive place. Are you understanding? So why wouldn't you flourish and just use that thing? Why, instead of praying for our boss to change, why don't we just see that he needs Jesus, and if he knew who he was, he wouldn't act that way, and we should probably cry for him instead of cry because of him, and we should probably show him mercy, and I bet mercy triumphs over judgment. I bet you that's how God treated all of us in the room. It's probably how we should probably treat everybody else, huh? Or do we just get religious and receive it from God and say, well, that's God, you know? Or do we understand we were made for His image and we're the body of Christ on the earth? And as He is, so are we in this world. The goal of our instruction is love, so let's put it on. Let's have a good day. You guys follow me? If you live this way, your heart will be so guarded and so protected in the truth. People say, well, yeah, but they just get under my skin. And the whole point is we're getting new skin. That getting under your skin thing, that's the old skin. That's Adam. That's fallen man. That's not the born again man. Yeah, but you're telling me, Dan, you're trying to tell me that if somebody did this, and I see, stop that. Throw that grid away. Because if God took on the attitude that you're conveying, you wouldn't have His Spirit inside of you right now. Come on. So at what point do we let mercy be mercy? Let me just tell you something while I'm talking. I'll just throw this out. The devil cannot defeat the mercy of God. That's why we're all sitting here. So why don't we become that same powerful thing, merciful people? He said, be merciful, for I am merciful. Look, he's not merciful so we obtain mercy. He's merciful so we see the beauty of mercy and become mercy. Yeah? Look, anybody can cop an attitude. That doesn't make you special. That makes you like everybody else. Anybody can have issues. Most people seem to. What about being sanctified and separate and different? What about having a clean heart? Clean hands? Huh? What about making nothing else matter but being like Him? What about waking up every day and saying, wow, the reason my feet are on the planet is His image? I've never put metal in a microwave. It wasn't made for metal. I'll blow it up if I do that. So I'm done living for myself. I was never made for me. I'd blow up my life if I keep doing that. You know, if you read the manufacturer's handbook, a microwave wasn't made for metal. Well, if you read the manufacturer's handbook, folks weren't made for themselves. They were made for the image of God. We've been trained by a lie, so let's get retrained. Come on, you guys know this stuff. Romans 12:2, it says don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How is that going to happen? Because I'm going to try harder? I'm going to get renewed in my mind. Yes. Ephesians says to put off the old man and put on the new man and be renewed. It's Ephesians 4, it's in there. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Now guess what we heard our whole life? Well, what you don't know won't hurt you. Did you ever hear that phrase? Yeah. Well, what you don't know won't hurt you. You read that book, it says the total opposite. It says what you don't know is destroying you. I guess something's trying to keep us blind. Something's trying to keep us casual and nonchalant. I bet there's something out there just trying to keep us out of the know. Remember Jesus' words on the cross? Forgive them, Father. I bet you there's something out there trying to keep it that way. Well, what you don't know won't hurt you. The Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. In all you're getting, get understanding. That's why we do spiritual emphasis week. That's why we do what we do. That's why we pick up that word. That's why we get alone with God and talk to the Holy Spirit. Because we want to stay clear. I'm done letting other things teach me if He's the teacher. If He's the truth, I don't want a truth. If He's the way, I don't want a way. Come on. Look, until the light of the world came, we're in darkness, man. So I guess it would be safe to say that Jesus is the light of the world and we find ourselves in Him. And the trouble is we've been trying to find ourselves every other way. And then religion just says to serve Him. Religion says to pay Him. Religion says to sing to Him. Religion says to pray to Him when you're distressed. And He says to become like Him. Okay, man, I'm preaching good. I am. Are you guys listening? Religion just tells you to get near Him. But true Christianity says become like Him by the person of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Man, what an honor to be like Him. 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of all the commandment, the goal of our instruction, the purpose of our instruction and commandment, no matter what translation you read, that's how it comes out. It's love. Through a pure heart, clear conscience, a sincere, unfeigned thing. If God made man in His image and God is love, then what did He make man to be? And what have we been born into? All needing loved from one another. Mad when we didn't get it. Needing relationships for insecurity. Reducing I love you to I need you. Oh, you make my whole world complete. I don't know what I'd do without you. Oh, if I ever lose you, my life would be over. Come on, there's only one that fits that description. That's all idolatry. It's just an emotional Hollywood movie that we believe in the moment. Come on. You guys all right? It's starting to look like a deliverance meeting now. It looks like deliverance right now going on over here in this wing. It's funny. I'm just having fun with y'all. Everybody's just looking so intently. There was a lot of different expressions.
I said, Lord, is that stuff coming out or are they just thinking?
Come on, if God made man in his image and God is love, then he made man to what? So when man ate the tree in the garden, he fell from his creative value and the image died. And instead of being love, he became in desperate need of love because he got cut off from the source of love. So every man since then has been born into Adam, and you must be born. And the biggest tragedy is we've taught born again as a prayer to go to heaven instead of a restoration and transformation of life. So Jesus said, if anyone come after me, do you hear what he said? Anyone. Do you know what he's saying? He's talking to every face I'm looking at. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Why? You were never made for you. It's the biggest problem on the planet, man living for himself. Because then you're living at the expense of another for the sake of yourself, and love lays down its life for another at the expense of itself. Do you hear? It's totally opposite. Do you hear the perversion? When man ate the tree, everything got perverted, twisted, 180-degree turn on the purpose of life. And now every man's fending for himself instead of loving not his own life unto death. Jesus said to follow him, not sing to him. Worship is powerful. What I'm saying is, follow him is the highest. Follow him. I'm not putting down what we did this morning. That was powerful. Come on. Follow him is what he said. And it's a big deal. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life for men. Did they treat him right? Hardly, huh? Did they appreciate healing whole cities? Nope. Said he probably has a devil. Causes a blind man to see, and from birth, no one's ever done anything like that. And the Pharisees are like, this man is a sinner. The blind man says, look, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Well, what do you say about him? I say he's a prophet. He can't be a prophet. He healed on the Sabbath. Who do you say is? I've been telling you who he is. Well, we don't know where this man came from. We know Moses spoke to God. He said, how do you know? The guy. How do you know Moses spoke to God? You don't know. This man has to be from God. You guys ought to know that no one's ever given sight to the blind that's been born. But nobody's ever heard anything like this. Isn't it amazing? And you don't know where he came from? Come on, God listens to those who love him and respect him. And you don't know who this guy is? And he said, you're trying to teach us? We're the teachers. It was a big scene, the blind man's story. He heals a man blind. And the spirit of the world, the wickedness of this age, keeps us so blind and says, well, gosh, surely a devil. He must be a demon-possessed Samaritan doing this stuff. So deceived that they put him on a cross and killed him for doing right. That's perversion, ain't it? And isn't it amazing that none of that perversion could change love? There he hung. That's why he's in us right now, because that love never fails. He never changed his mind. He didn't drop the cross and say, oh, these bunch of knotheads. How can they be so stupid? Come on. If we'd have been in Jesus' shoes, we'd have probably had some worse language than that. You know, you never heard Jesus talk like that. God, cut me a break. Are these people so... Come on. I healed all the sick that came to me, all that asked for me. I said yes. Open blind eyes, bound doors, prison doors, they're open. Chains are broke. I've done nothing but good, God. And yet they gossip, they backbite, they say I'm a demon-possessed Samaritan. Come on, God, if they didn't see by now, they're never going to see. And I don't even know why I'm doing it. I'm done. If they hit me with one more whip, I'm telling you, I'm done. Come on. Come on, it sounds so foolish you put that in Jesus' mouth because we know who Jesus is. But it ought to sound foolish in your mouth. You're made for his image. That attitude ought to sound just as foolish. Amen. The only reason it sounds rational is because we were trained by it, but he wasn't trained by it because he is the truth. We were trained by a lie. He's the truth. We were trained by a lie. He's the truth. We beheld him in grace and truth. He said, don't let anyone teach you. You have one teacher. He's the Christ. Why do we let life speak louder than truth? Why do we let feelings and emotions speak louder than truth? Because we were trained by him. So let's get renewed in the spirit of our mind. And the way you start is to understand this day and every day after, I'm on the earth for one reason, his image. And that's my pursuit. And it ain't about what any man does or doesn't do to me. It's about me loving. And it's the most powerful place I've ever lived. That's what you decide. It's called Christian living. It's not taught that strong. Most of the time, it's usually all about blessings, getting something from God, a better job, prosperity, blessings. I don't teach that stuff. You die to yourself, you'd be the most blessed person you've ever been. Because all that other stuff that was getting you because of not dying to yourself dies. All those emotions, all that pain, all that hurt, all that frustration dies. Because it ain't about you anymore. It's about the honor of the King. And all of a sudden you finally realize no one owes you anything. And your days of being hurt and angry and frustrated are over, and you don't pray another frustrated prayer in your life. Amen. I promise you it's possible. He said to follow him. It has to be possible. He said the goal of our instruction is love. I see so many hurt Christians and it just proves we really don't know him. I see a lot of angry Christians. Mad at their pastor, mad at brother so-and-so. Man, you better be glad God doesn't have that attitude or he'd be mad at you. So we probably ought to take of him and eat of him and learn of him. Yeah? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. That other mentality is heavy, man. It brings feelings. Who's ever been frustrated and can honestly tell me you were blessed? Who's ever been vile and angry at something and tell me that you were in a state of blessing? Come on, be real with me. But yet we reserve the right to be there and we feel right being there, so it's just fueled by rightness. But it's always at the expense of others, isn't it? Because all of a sudden you see men for what they failed in, see men for what they did, instead of see men for who they're created to be. And what love did for you and me is it never lost sight of who you're created to be. Yeah. Guys, on your darkest day, God knew who you were. And love never failed. Yeah? Come on. Who here actually knew better and went another way? Who actually knew in your heart it was wrong and said whatever? And even in that moment, God said, that ain't you. I know who you are. And I won't stop wooing you, drawing you, and keeping you qualified through my Son, believing one day you'll see and we can be one. This isn't just about God forgiving you, guys. It's about God coming inside of you and making you what you were always created. Sense of love, mercy, peacemaking. I'm not saying we're God. I'm saying we sure are His sons. Yeah? You know why they were mad at Jesus for calling God His Father? Because it made Him equal with God, meaning we're family. It doesn't make Him God. It makes Him equal with God. It's Father, Son. It's family. When Jesus told man how to pray, how did He tell man how to pray? Pray saying what? Because He wants you to know you're His son. That means you're in the household of God and all that is yours. And it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, so fear not. Come on, it's all through your Bible. This thing makes sense. Doesn't it? Yeah? Come on, we did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. We've been restored back to Him. And He's come back into us. And here's what He's doing, ladies. He's working in us every day to lock our hearts and minds into truth so we never believe another way. So people say, well, you're brainwashed. I say, my brain has been completely washed. I had a boss tell me one time at work, you need to read more material. You read your Bible way too much. It's not healthy to only read your Bible. You'll get so narrow-minded.
I said, you get it. Narrow is the way. See, here's what happens. Here's what happens, guys. We go to church. I'll go talk to the middle section for a little. We go to church and the problem is we still fully yell but. God loves you. Yeah, but, well, yeah, you know. Hey, you know you have great value. Well, yeah, but. People are full of yell but. You know, God's a healer. Yeah, I know, but. I lost so. And all of a sudden, we embrace a language that never really hears truth and allows truth to bring change. He says in the Bible, there's a bunch of folks that ate with him, walked in the streets with him, slept with him, and hung out with him. There's folks that say they did that.
And yet when they were face to face, he said, I don't even really, in fact, he didn't say really, he said, I don't know you. To know him is to become like him. You read 1 John chapter 4, it says that if you don't love, there's only one reason. It's because you don't know him. He didn't say you don't go to church. He didn't say you don't pastor. He didn't say you didn't go to Bible seminary. But he did say if you don't love, it's because you don't know him. Our goal is not to make heaven. Our goal is to know him and shine and sow seed into this earth. Heaven's already come. It's inside of us. Yeah? And we're one with the eternal one, so of course we'll live forever. The goal is not heaven. The goal is restoration and redemption of life. So that every day matters. And life is a gift. And we treasure this little window called life in the flesh. Because it'll speak forever on behalf of the King. We're not trying to make it. We already have.
Yeah? We're not just praying for better circumstances.
Come on, don't get reduced to that. That's a frustrating Christian life, just praying for better circumstances. Because then you're always looking at the circumstances to decide how you're doing here. You're already doing great here because of the blood.
Yeah.
It's not about circumstances. It's that song we sang, when everything's raging around me, when nothing's making sense and people are acting off the wall and all hell is breaking loose. Heaven's in me and I have a clear perspective and I shine through it all and leave a right representation of Him. I'm not broken, I'm not hurt, I'm not defeated, and I don't need prayer. Come on. Jesus just happens to be Lord. Yeah? So I guess I am always encouraged, huh? I bet it's possible. Yeah? I'm not speaking from 20 days of experience. Speaking from 20 years. And you can tell I'm excited about it. I should be. You guys getting something out of this? Listen, everything I'm saying is for everyone ever that's walked the earth. So it's certainly for everyone in this room. And if you got something saying, yeah, but, I'm telling you, it's the devil. Yeah, but you don't know how it's been, brother. You don't know how bad it is. Yeah, but you don't know my tendencies. Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, but. Stop that. That's a lie, and you've learned to believe it. It's time to get rid of that stronghold and say, there is no yeah, but. I have a destiny. I'm called by God, and I'm loved by God. And the blood of Jesus is sufficient, and I'm going to start where He finished. I'm going to allow the gospel to identify me as a good tree. I'm going to take you. I turned you to Colossians 1. I didn't forget. It just takes me a while to get there. We're going there. You made me a good tree, and the fruit is automatic. I'm not trying not to sin. I'm not trying to be good. I'm enjoying being yours. And I'm enjoying knowing you and being loved by you. And that will prove the fruit in my life.
Amen.
Come on. Because if you strive, you think you're failing. If you try harder, you're not sure if you're doing good. But if you're just His and you know it, you'll show it.
Did you get it? Was that simple enough? That's how simple the Christian life is, guys.
Now, I know you get taught very well here, so this comment is no reflection on this ministry. But I've traveled to a lot of places, and I lived a lot of years on the earth, and no one's ever told me the things I'm telling you. No one ever told me that Jesus died because of my value. They always told me He died because of my sin. Well, He had to die because of my sin, but He died because I have great potential and value. He wouldn't die for a sinner. He died for someone that was created to be a son. Hello? See, no one ever told me that. Holy Spirit told me that in the bedroom, and I cried and cried and cried and cried, and it changed my life forever. He came to save that which was lost. Not who was lost, that. Matthew 18, He came to save that which was lost. What was lost? Your created value, your destiny, your identity. So God cursed sin in the flesh. He made His Son to be sin on a cross. I point back there because most places have a cross. You guys are slipping, man. Where's the cross? I'm trying to make one up. Oh, see the plexiglass on the drum case? Look at that. There's a cross. That's why I point back there, because almost everybody has this big wooden cross in their churches. Maybe you guys are actually free. I don't know. But so when I point...
When I point back there, don't say, what's back there? I'm just thinking there's a cross back there. Like, find one. There's one. Look at that. You can find a lot of crosses back there. But here's what I'm saying. God did not curse His Son on the cross. He made His Son to be sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. Why? So we could become right in the sight of God and forever be His. Come on, you've got to believe that and you've got to start there or you'll never run well. You can't accomplish being right in His sight, so He did. He must think a lot of you. He must think a lot of your potential. He must know what's possible when He's in you and you're surrendered. Yeah? Because if you don't understand this, the love sounds like a mystery and it never affects our hearts because you can't love God first. He first loved you. But if you don't understand the power of that love, it just sounds like a mystery and you're like, why in the world would He love me? He loves you because of what He created you to be. He loves you for destiny, for purpose, for potential. He knows who you are from the beginning. He loves what He made you to be. It's called His image. And you might have lived a million plus miles from His image, but it's still there to be walked in. It's still there to be restored. Come on, this love is not some weird thing that we can't comprehend. It's not like God's some lonely and He just needs a friend and He's willing to overlook everything. He knows who He made folks to be. And man and woman way back then, Eve was deceived and Adam followed her instead of him and followed the wrong voice. And all of a sudden the devil was busy making disciples and reproducing after his own kind. Well, that was their creative value to reproduce after their own kind. So he just went and tried to change their own kind so that everything that was born after that looked like the fall. Yeah? Y'all getting that, ain't you? You girls are sharp, I see. Guys, it don't look like a deliverance meeting over here. I'm kidding, it's a joke. Y'all getting this, ain't you? Yeah. So everything that was born after that, see, he took away the image. He made man a god unto himself. He stripped away the identity. So every person that was born after that moment was born into Adam, born into that life. So not one of you ladies, when you were born, had a clue who you were. You tried to find that out along the way. And then by the time you're at a young age, you think you know who you are, but it's all been taught by life instead of the one that gave life. And all of a sudden, it's all been taught by background and memories and unfortunate events. And all of a sudden, by the age of 12, you got this false identity. By the age of 20, you think you know who you are, but it's all based on life and happenings and past relationships and things. It's not based on Him. Wow. And all of a sudden we're driven by a lie all the time. Trying to find ourselves, trying to be loved, trying to feel special, trying to find that one person that makes us feel special. Girls, His name is Jesus because He knows you from the beginning. Only then can you really be truly loved, because if not, you just need. It makes you vulnerable. And all of a sudden your precious value is so manipulated and so tainted. And now you're just at the mercy of a man instead of in love with the man. Yeah? Well, I'm preaching to you, girls. I see the tears. It's good tears. They're liberating tears. It's the truth about you from the beginning. His love never fails. You? Jesus wants you so secure, so rock solid, so sure of who you are. It doesn't matter the mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how vulnerable you've been. You're not vulnerable anymore. So it's as if it never happened. Did you get it? The blood and the truth makes it as if it never happened. And if there's a lady sitting here that says, man, if I could go back and redo my steps, I sure would now. That means you ain't remembering the lady that you're thinking about.
That lady's dead.
That's right.
And a new lady lives.
Did you get it? It's a big deal. I did a wedding once. This lady was a drug addict. Deluxe, like serious, like every drug forever.
I mean, like really serious, man. And she
was prostituting to get the monies, and she went through a bunch of husbands,
trying, she's marrying into the drug life just to get supported with drugs. She would marry the folks that would keep her supplied. And the marriage was just an exchange, you know what I'm saying? It's just a, I'll do for you, you do for me. You know what I'm saying? And now she's born again. And she believes she's in love with this man. And I was doing the wedding. She's standing there in a white gown. Her family's thinking, here we go again. What's this? Number, I don't know. I lost count. That's the family, right? That ain't how God sees. This lady's playing the piano. Now, this is for us to believe and continue in. You can walk out of this truth or you can walk in this truth. But this lady's playing the piano and she starts singing and getting loud. And I'm doing the wedding ceremony. And I thought, whoa, you just knew God was doing something. She starts singing in other tongues at her wedding. And then the people out there were like, what language is that? Jesus. And I'm standing there getting the interpretation. And I'm like, this is fun. And all of a sudden, God sang through me to her. Something like this. I don't remember specific, but it was like, I want you to take a look into his eyes and you into hers. And I want you to know you've never done this before. I've taken away the old and I brought forth the new and da 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 da. And at the end, you'd have loved it. He said, and you know what? You look beautiful in your white. I'm so glad you wore white. You were made to wear white. You look so beautiful in your white.
And we were all like, and the family that didn't understand was like,
but do you hear the heart of God? He didn't see a drug addict. He didn't see a lady that went to desperate measures to get money. He didn't see a lady married four times and divorced. He saw a lady that's finally come to the knowledge of truth. And he saw her for what she's become, not where she's been. And love covers a multitude of sin. Love doesn't just say, oh, well, God will love me anyway. Love changes us, puts a new heart in us. Love puts honor back in us, diligence, discipline. Because love is so holy and amazing. Because when we were at our worst, he saw us for potential. When we didn't think we cared, he loved. And when we were making a mess of one God-given life, he said, you're more than that. When you really get that, ladies, you learn to honor love, respect love, and allow it to bring the best out in you. Never take advantage of it. I hear folks say, well, God will love me anyway. God will forgive me. They're missing the integrity of his love. Love brings the best out in you. And all of a sudden, you're not trying to be a bunch of good girls. You're his girls. And that changes everything.
You get it? So I knew I'd find a way to be personal with everybody. I'm in this big room and I didn't like it.
I thought I was going to be in a little room talking right after. So I'm just making it happen. I'm just, so excuse me. And I know you're here in the middle. Colossians, you want to check it out? How much time? What do I got? Okay. That's not too dangerous. I'll be all right. I get it. I won't go much longer. You guys are really, man, I can tell you're really hearing what I'm saying. I feel a humble heart in here at large. It's such a big, humble heart in here, a teachable heart. You guys stay teachable. Don't let anything give you that attitude, cop the attitude that we walked in before, okay? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Come on, man. That whatever attitude, that thing that's like, you know, that little chip on your shoulder, you're sitting there showing one thing on your face and having another thing going on in your heart and mind. It's just put that stuff away forever. You're only hurting yourself. Here's the bottom line. You were made for his image, everyone in this room. Everyone that's ever walked the earth was made for his image. You know, we hear all the news and the ISIS and the whole nine yards and all the tragic and evil stuff, but the truth is everybody's made for his image. And if you let the lawlessness that's abounding cause your love to grow cold and miss the identity of people, I'm not saying it's right what they're doing or what anybody's doing, and I'm not saying we're just pushovers and doormats. What I'm saying is we don't lose sight of every man's destiny, any man's destiny, and we let mercy triumph over judgment. You're not praying because you're angry. You're praying because you're broken for people and you're hurting for people because they're more than what they're giving themselves to. You're not praying because you're hurt. You're not praying because you're forsaken. You're praying because you're a lover. and you know they're more than what they're producing. And you're asking God for grace. You see what I'm saying? Man, if we put this thing on, we can make a difference. The church can really make a difference. I know we've heard that our whole lives and it almost sounds like hype, but it's not. The gospel's powerful. We all carry a sphere of influence. Everybody in this room, we're around people. And if you start living this way, it affects people, challenges people, shows people there's another way. It might not seem earth-shaking, and it might not just be a paralytic jumping out of a wheelchair, but it's love demonstrated, and that's what the world's lacking. And that's what the world's longing for. And I'll tell you what, love demonstrated is what will change the world, not folks attending church services. You can attend a church service and not ever walk in love and find that you'll stand before Him one day and never really knew Him. Because to love is to know Him. To not love is to not know Him. Come on, it's real clear in your Bible. So how to get to know Him, get alone with Him, talk to Him every opportunity. Thank You for fathering me. I believe You love me. I believe You've forgiven me. God, I want to know You more. Just keep revealing Your heart to me as I read the Scriptures. Let it come alive inside of me. Holy Spirit, I welcome You. Communion with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord. Yeah?
It's this Colossians 1 thing. I know you don't think I'm going to read it, but I am.
You know what's awesome? It says the same thing it would have an hour ago. That's good about the Word.
You come back to folks an hour later, they already changed their mind. You come back an hour later to the Word, it's still there. Did you ever notice no matter what you're going through or how you feel, when you open the book, it says the same thing it said before? I love that about God. Truth will never change. The way He sees you will never change. See, we haven't been trained by that. We've been seen for what we failed in. There's a place to discipline. There's a place... My kids, there was a place growing up where, you know, you don't want your kids to mess up. But when they do, you have to address it as a parent. You have to be careful you're not addressing it just because you're frustrated or you expected more of them or you're living their life for them or you had them for your own identity. You don't have kids for your own identity. You have kids to multiply the image of God. That's the truth. The reason we're blessed to have children isn't so that we're fulfilled. We're fulfilled in Him. And we have children to manifest that fulfillment and multiply His glory till His glory covers the earth. Come on. Most of us have children for our fulfillment. That's the fall of man. And then if anything goes wrong with our children, we're trashed. Hello? I've seen countless parents lose their identity because of their kids' choices. I've seen countless parents live under heaps of condemnation, feeling like their kids' life is their fault. And all of a sudden they're rendered unproductive. There's no light shining. And now they're just existing. And they've become a product of their child's resume. Come on. I know this is stuff we don't talk about much, but it's powerful if you'll ever get it and get free from that thing. Parents get trapped trying to live their kids' lives for them, painting their own dreams for their kids, and their kids are set up to fail them from the get-go. Because you already have planned their life out. I've seen that in countless parents as a pastor. No, you and me, as much as we've failed in this, you and me are in a humble place today to say, you know what? I see this. I'm going to repent of anything from before. You made me in Your image. You fulfilled me. And You gave me the gift to be fruitful and multiply the image and the fulfillment.
Yeah. So what you do with your kids when you see them not doing right, you teach them for their sake that they're more than that, and then you give them a chance to do right. You don't see Him for broken trust. You don't see Him for, and He doesn't want you to see yourself that way. See what I mean? It's a frustrating thing when you broke everybody's trust around you and now you feel like you changed and you want to get right and everybody looks at you with a raised brow. And I understand you can't just put something back in somebody's hand again all the time. They got to earn some things by walking things out. I understand all that. But isn't it a frustrating feeling when you feel like you've changed and folks are still seeing you for the wrong? You have to understand that that's just the tendency of folks. But God never sees you that way, so you have to receive a fresh identity and just let your life prove different and let time heal others. But if you start saying, well, they won't trust me, but I'm changed, and you start selling your fruit instead of
manifesting it, that's probably not cool. You're not called to sell your fruit. You're just called to bear it. Okay.
Colossians says this. It says, "In you who were once alienated and enemies." Now watch what made us enemies. This is fascinating. Verse 21, Colossians 1, 21. Excuse me. Woo, that was loud. "And you who were alienated and enemies in your mind." Where were you alienated and what made you an enemy? The way your mind was working. Isn't that fascinating? Man. And it's amazing how the heart and the mind get connected, right? How the heart and the mouth are connected. So what you're believing begins to infiltrate your heart, and what fills your heart comes out of you. Do you get it? So how do you get renewed in the spirit of your mind? You get a hold of the truth and you start believing different. Did Jesus tell us to go make disciples? Didn't he? Matthew 28, "Go make disciples of every nation," right? "Teaching them to observe everything I told you." So did he tell us to make disciples? So what is a disciple? Like, I hear people always say about making disciples, but what is a disciple? Somehow we think that's somebody that goes to Bible school. Here's a disciple, Matthew 8, 32, or John 8, 32. Jesus himself defines a disciple. He says, if you continue in my word, not your feelings, not your emotions, not your friend's advice. If you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. Whoa! And you will know the truth. You'll know it. Now you won't have to look that flaky, but I'm trying to amplify. You'll know the truth. And guess what? Truth will make you free. That could be as simple as this, like, duh. Yeah. Whoa. And all of a sudden you won't see it any other way because you see it the way it is. And it just brought great change to your life in a moment. It's not a mist coming through the... It's your eyes open and your heart like... Whoa. True repentance can look like that. Duh. Are you kidding me? Oh, Lord, never again. Oh my goodness, I see that. I was being played. That was... Do you get it? Come on. What's his disciple? If you continue in my word, ladies. Not the past. Not memories, not emotions, not feelings. If you continue my word, you're my disciple indeed. You will know the truth. It's like that example I used with Jason. He can continue in the truth when that thing's coming at him, or he can go with that thing and let it gray him out. But if he continues in the truth, guess what happens if he continues in the truth? He's going to know it, and it'll put a stronghold in his heart of truth, not a lie. And all of a sudden that truth will make him what? And now he can't sell out no more because he sees. Do you get it? Didn't Jesus say, "I came to make those who are blind see"? We always think that's blind folks in the natural. He's the light of the world. Amen? So why were we enemies? The way our minds work. True? We were alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. Reconciled means to be made friends with. That's incredible. In the body of his flesh through death, he reconciled us. In the body of his flesh through death to present us. He says you. Man, you could be reading this alone in your little dorm room, wherever you're at in your space. And you'd be reading this and you say, "Father, you've made me holy." Most circles think that's blasphemy. There's a lot of circles growing up when I was a kid that if you'd have talked like that, you're a heretic. And that's what they charge you with, to get that thought out of your mind. That's not the Spirit of God saying you're a heretic. The Bible says he's presenting you holy, blameless. Read your Bible. It's right there. Holy, blameless. And what? Above reproach. Where? In his sight. Come on, that's good news. A second ago, I was an enemy because my mind was twisted. And he's saying, "Look, you just don't see clear, but once you see clear, you'll be changed. I love you. I know who you are." Bam. So I'm going to go ahead, while you're yet a sinner, I'm going to go ahead and send my son. While you're yet sinners, I'll send my son. Because you have a greater destiny than sin. Yeah? Man. And he's going to present you what? Holy? Blameless? You know how good it would do you folks to just talk to the Lord every morning you wake up and say, Father, you love me today. You've made me holy. You've made me blameless in your sight. And you're not scolding me. You're not rebuking me, reproaching me. You've done nothing but love me. You're a good father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me how to respond as a good son without getting trapped in works and failure. I just thank you. I'm a good tree. I'm yours. The planting of the Lord, that you might be glorified. What an awesome day. That's your beats. That's your beats. Get Nancy. That's your beats just being a life changer, just saying, you know, I've been here 4 months. It seems like, I don't know, man. And all of a sudden you're thinking, I'm supposed to be here for 9, 8 more months. Come on, that's degenerative. That's stuff that doesn't produce life. Say, God, I thank you for this season of my life. I thank you that you're putting such a rock-solid stronghold in me. God, I've been missing my home. It seems like I've been missing my family. But even when I was there, I wasn't producing life. I was just needing them, depending on them, and actually rocking the people I say I love. You're doing a work in me. And God, I just ain't in a hurry. You know what? I am just glad to know you and be found in you and grow in you more. Keep doing that good thing in me. God. You see what I'm saying? And every time you get that negative pull and you feel like you're fasting life and fasting yesterday and fasting relationships and you're missing so-and-so, I ain't talked to that dude for a long time. Father, you're changing me. Come on, man. Now you're just on the right track. Now watch this. If indeed, so guess what you are through Jesus? Right now as you sit here, you're holy. Is this in your Bible or is this just my sermon? Or is this in the Word of God? You're holy. You're blameless and above reproach in His sight. Now watch this. If indeed you continue believing it in the faith, believing it, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel in which you heard. Let me just paraphrase what he's saying. If indeed you keep believing this and don't let anything change your mind. Everything out there is trying to change your mind. How easy has it been for people to slip into guilt, condemnation, shame? How many good-intending Christians got a bad thought and lived all day condemned and feeling guilty? Guilt, condemnation, and shame are never, ever, ever, ever God. They're not in His tool belt and He doesn't subcontract them out. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are degenerate. They're anti-Christ attitudes and mindsets. Anti-finished work is what I mean by anti-Christ. They're anti-finished work of Christ. They're anti-Christ. They're anti-salvation. Here's why I'm saying that. Guilt is a subconscious confession that you're not forgiven. Condemnation is a subconscious confession that your life's worthy to be judged. And shame is a subconscious confession that the thing you're ashamed of is still who you are. You wouldn't be ashamed. And they're all three anti-finished work. So guilt, condemnation, and shame need attacked and crushed out of every man's soul. Watch this good news. If you weren't pure inside, you'd have no ability to be condemned because you wouldn't care. If God wouldn't have done something in you, you couldn't be condemned because you wouldn't care. You'd just be a whatever person and you'd be empty inside and nothing would love you. You couldn't be guilty and feel guilty or regret or feel ashamed if something wasn't alive inside of you. Yeah? Yeah. Come on. The person that's just blank and stoic and just whatever and has no nothing about nothing is the person that you should really be concerned about. And pray that God encounter them. The person that sometimes the purest people in their heart that I've ever met, they love God so much down their heart. They really believe they love God. They're the most condemned people behind the scenes because they feel like they're not living up to their love. And the devil's using their desire for God against them. And they always feel like they're living less than and failing. And if he can trap them in guilt, condemnation, or shame, he can mar their identity and keep a veil over their face so they never have intimacy and grow close to his love. Now you're reduced to serving him from afar and you feel like you're failing. At best, you become a concubine and you serve the king and minister to the king and be called into his chamber now and then instead of being the queen that lays by his side.
Whoa.
Come on. Don't you be a concubine. Guys, even though you're guys, you can relate to what I said. You're not here to serve the king and minister to the king. You're here to be his. In the Old Testament, there was concubines. They served the king and ministered to the king. And every once in a while, he'd call them into his chamber and he'd spend the night with him. That's how a lot of Christians live their lives. They just serve the Lord and they brush against him now and then. They have an encounter now and then. They live for 6 months off the encounter. You're called to be the bride. You sleep beside him. With him. You're the queen. Amen?
You like that kind of preaching, girls. That's why I came on this side. I didn't want the guys going.
Colossians 1 is awesome. You ought to read it sometime, man. I really just believe it. It says you've been delivered from the power of darkness. You've been set apart. You've been sanctified. You've been placed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You're holy. You're blameless. And you're above reproach. You go on to Colossians 2 and it's incredible. It tells you that you're complete in Christ and you shouldn't let anything rob you from that. You shouldn't let philosophy, the way the world thinks, the basic principles, the traditions of men in life keep you from the truth of who you are. Don't let anyone cheat you or rob you. You're complete in Christ Jesus. That's what Colossians 2 teaches you. It says that He paid the price and everything that was coming against us through sin, He paid the price and He made a spectacle of the powers of the law of sin and death and the things that work through sin. He made an open spectacle of them on the cross when He conquered and He won. And then Colossians 3 talks about you and me being raised with Christ, so we're not seeking the things that are on the earth. We're seeking the things that are above, and we died so that our life is hidden in Him, and when He appears, we'll appear with Him. Therefore, we put off everything we used to be and were taught we were, and we put on everything we truly are. That's the progression of Colossians 1, 2, and 3. It would do you good in your Bible time or you get personal time to read to just on a personal level, apart from a life changer's assignment, just you cracking open your word and saying, you know what? Because I'm not against the life changer assignment. That's all good. That puts regimen, discipline, stuff back in your life. But just you free willingly when you're alone. And you could be chatting. You could be hanging out. You could be doing whatever. You could be just tearing up somebody on that ping pong table you all got over there. But you say, you know what? I just got to feed on that just for a second. And it doesn't make you unspiritual if you're playing ping pong. What I'm saying is there's a time to find time in your own heart to check something out like Colossians 1, 2, and 3 and let it build a stronghold of identity in your life. Amen? And here's what you'll find. The tree will be made good and the fruit's a guarantee. And all of a sudden, you're not trying to be okay. You are. All of a sudden, you're not trying to not be angry. You're just not. And all of a sudden, you're not trying not to be jealous. Not jealous. You're just not. Why? Because you've changed. And everything about you's changed. And all of a sudden, you're not just trying to do good things. Something good's become inside of you. Does this all make sense to you guys? We'll do a lot more of this week. And there's just real foundation of the day. Just felt really good in my heart. Appreciate just you all being here and being in Life Changers. And for what it's worth, I'm going to say this again to sound being redundant. Don't let anything talk you out of the pursuit you're in right now.
Yeah.
Don't let anything talk you out of this season you're in.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like it's too long and don't you get antsy and just start comparing it to, you know, natural reason stuff. I'm telling you, see your life as a season right now. And there's this one priority. I'm going to find out who He is. And when I see Him clear, I'll find me clear. And my life will be more solid than ever. You've got to hold on to that hope, guys. Or you'll just feel like you're fasting too much. And like meaning time and everyday life. And the freedom to just go here and there. You guys aren't in a prison. You're in Him. And I'm excited that you're in Life Changers. I'm talking to every man I'm looking at, man. Don't let anything talk you out of this season you're in. Honestly, there's not one negative about it, only to the flesh. But to the spirit man, it's a good day. So go ahead and starve those things of the flesh, because the flesh has one place in the Christian life. It's called crucified.
Amen. Yeah?
When you start catering to the flesh, that's when you walk in weakness. And that's when things stay the same. You did not come to Life Changers to stay the same. Some of you might feel like, well, I was kind of forced here. Good. I'm glad somehow you just got here. Seriously. Because some of us, if we weren't forced to somewhere, we'd go ahead by sheer instinct, like brute beasts, destroy ourselves. The Bible says that. Some of us are here because we're between a rock and a hard place. I've been in programs like this, and people are court-ordered there. And I'm like, man, why don't you see that as the love and mercy of God? Because you wouldn't put yourself there. He did. Come on. But embrace this as a season. And embrace this as a season that will establish the rest of the days of your life that you'll be fruitful before your God. And that someday you'll stand before Him and have a legacy because of truth making you free. And all of a sudden you'll have a lot of fruit that you'll carry to Him. You have touched folks and your testimony have encouraged hearts. Sometimes your life touches people and you don't even realize it. People are just listening around the scenes. I could tell you so many stories about that, but it's just fun. So here's the deal. You want to live in truth. You want to live in the right perspective. And you want to be fruit bearers all the way. Because somebody's going to get touched because He touched you. Okay? So don't let anything take you out of this season, guys. Don't you grow weary in well-doing. You'll reap if you don't lose heart. All right? Cheering you on. I'm talking to you too, ladies. Okay? I just didn't come over and get all personal and kneel on the chair. And I'm talking to everyone in the center. Look, just because we're not in line, look, they're no less than us. We're all in the same thing. We're all walking out our faith. Some of us make different decisions than others, but the truth is we all have to steward our hearts and we all have to walk out our faith. You know, I know people that never did drugs. I know people that never slept around. I know people that never were alcoholics. But boy, they were mean and they were selfish and they were proud. I know people that could quote the whole Bible and end the scripture before you end it. And they're some of the meanest folks you met. Don't you let knowledge puff you up. You let love edify. Amen? And we ain't staring type of nobody in this room. Some people just have a different walk and need a different breakthrough and need a different strength. That's why these fellas are here to help folks through life. Amen? So I'm glad we're all here. I want to do something. Stand to your feet with me quick. We're going to, we're just going to close out this session. A lot of teaching and stuff, but we're going to have fun, man. What are we doing? Tonight? Tomorrow morning? And tomorrow night, I've got a bunch of time with you. So we'll be doing prayer. There's some things we're going to pray about. And there's going to be some ministry stuff. Don't always look for ministry when you get together. Always look for truth. You can get ministered to and not have truth. And you can actually feel better in the moment, but if you don't have truth, you won't be better in a moment. You don't want nothing to talk you out of being okay in Him. You know, I've seen people lean on ministry. If we're not careful, we become a ministry-crazed people in the church, and it's all about altars and prayer. No, it's about truth making us free. See, if I can teach you who you are, nobody can lie to you again.
That's right.
If I can show you who you are, you won't make the same decisions you made before. If you really start believing this gospel, your life will change because of the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's the power of God. You following me?
Yeah.
And if your eyes, because your eye is the lamp of your body. And if your eye's single, your whole body's flooded with light. Yeah? Doesn't say unless, of course, you're going through a hard time right now in your circumstances. It says if you see clear, you are clear. Doesn't say unless, of course, somebody just done me wrong. If your eye's single, your whole body's lit up. Yeah? You guys want this? I'm just going to pray a grace. This is all I'm doing. I'm just letting you know. It's corporate. It's not religious. And it'll be powerful. It's God. I'm going to pray a grace over every person in this room that's sitting here listening, and I believe we all are listening. I'm going to pray a grace over you students of Life Changers and believe that all these words that we spoke bring strength to all the words they've spoken, your leaders, and that out of the mouths of two or more, every word is confirmed and established. Amen? So, Father, I thank You that we found grace in Your sight today, and I thank You, Father, that You've spoken truth. The gospel's crystal clear. It's simple. And a child can receive it, so we're going to be like children and just say, yeah, You love us this much. We have a true destiny, and You've been changing our minds through and through. So God, thank You for it. We're Your children. You love us. You're not mad at us. And You've forgiven us of everything we've ever done. And even greater than that, You've empowered us to live productive lives. And today, God, I'm asking that every one of us put away any reason that would make that not true. We can live productive lives without striving, without trying, and without fearing failing. We can see the beauty of who we've become, and we can walk in that fruit. So I bless this house, and I pray for that grace to come upon every woman in this ministry, every man in this ministry, and every person up the middle, God, that's come to attend. And I pray, God, that we live more effective and more influential, and that we recognize our spheres of influence, and we're more impacting in them because of Your great love. I pray, Lord God, that You take the right away from every one of us to just live discouraged. Teach us what it means to love not our own lives unto death. God, I thank You that if any man would come after You, You said it very clear. We'll deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. I thank you that it's possible and grace will meet us there. Father, in closing, I'm asking you to expose every trace of self-centeredness in the moment of his expression in our own soul, our own heart, our own mind. Father us personally in this room and let us walk out this faith. Father, if any man from this point on will begin to function from a motive that's all about himself, let him see it, not deny it. Let him see it, not be deceived. Any woman, let him see it and not be deceived. And give us always a chance to yield and be changed. I pray for grace and peace in this house, in this ministry, in this church. I pray that this would be a church known for its love. Not just its dynamic moves of God, not for its healings. God, I pray this church would be known for its love. Because God, if it's known for its love, it'll have all the rest. Let this be a church that knows your love and has become your love. Let life changers be a place where men and women can come to become love. And God, I thank you in that process. Of course you'll fix broken things. Of course you'll restore families and bring children back to lives. But God, let the goal of our instruction always be love. We thank you for it. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen.